It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Legislative leaders on both sides of the aisle in the state Senate are noting the time is fast approaching to make a final decision about a potential expansion of Medicaid. An expansion would allow hundreds of thousands more Pennsylvanians to enroll in the program. The Corbett administration is insisting the governor is still open to the idea, but the governor has been saying for months that he needs more information. We invited Acting Department of Public Welfare Secretary Beverly McAreth to join this discussion, but she declined our invitation. I'm joined now by State Senator Jay Costa of Forest Hills. The senator is the Senate Democratic leader and an advocate of opting for Medicaid expansion. He joins us by phone from Johnstown. Senator Costa, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul, for having me on the program today.
What are your thoughts about Medicaid expansion in Pennsylvania? You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Senator Costa, let's begin by having you explain what Medicaid expansion is and why you support it.
Well, it's a couple things. One, it's a result of the Affordable Care Act that provides for expanded Medicaid coverage for a universe of folks who today don't have that coverage. Those folks who are working individuals who earn between 100% and 138% of the federal poverty level, so these are working individuals, it provides for the federal government to provide to the states the resources to allow them to have health care coverage as working individuals, and it caps it at 138%. It was part of the Affordable Care Act, and then ultimately through the Supreme Court case, the court said that that the mandate that states would have to do it was not appropriate, and the court said that individual states would have to decide for themselves whether or not they wanted to opt in to that federal program. So the federal program would provide Medicaid benefits, health benefits, to the folks between 100 and 138% of the poverty level and would be reimbursed. The state would be reimbursed by the federal government at 100% of that cost for the next 3 years. And then over the course of the next several years, that 100% reimbursement rate reduces down to 90%. And then from there on, it's 90%. So the state at the end will be paying 10% of that cost. But as part of the Affordable Care Act, each state has the option to opt in or opt out. A number of states around us have already opted in, New Jersey, I think West Virginia, Ohio, New York. Many states that are led by Republican governors have decided to opt in because they look at, as Governor Brewer from Arizona, probably the harshest critic of the Affordable Care Act, stated, says when you weigh the evidence and do the math, it makes sense to be able to opt in. And we believe that to be the case here in Pennsylvania. It does a number of things, Paul. Again, I want to premise this on the fact that these are not my numbers and these are not my positions, but rather the position of three separate studies that have been done on this issue. First was by the RAND Corporation. As you know, Pittsburgh, a highly respected research entity in the city of Pittsburgh, but across the country as well. The RAND Corporation did a study that said you grow about 35,000 to 39,000 jobs. You create about $2 billion of investment in Pennsylvania in healthcare delivery services, as well as additional revenue for the Commonwealth, as well as savings for the Commonwealth in terms of the line items that we would see. That was followed up several weeks later by a study by the Pennsylvania Economy League that said essentially the same thing. And the third study was the Pennsylvania Independent Fiscal Office, again saying that it creates jobs, creates savings in our budgets, it creates revenue for the Commonwealth as we go forward, and most importantly, as I said, it provides health care coverage for about 500,000 individuals who are working individuals in our communities.
Now, the Corbett administration is refuting the analysis that you just mentioned by the state's independent fiscal office that, as you stated, found under a Medicaid expansion, the Commonwealth would gain federal funds and reduce state expenditures. However, Beverly McAreth, who we tried to get on this program, again, she's the acting DPW secretary, she says they have concerns about what they call assumptions in that analysis. For example, she says that the state's independent fiscal office is estimating at least $515 million that is improperly credited as savings, revenue, or underestimated costs to the Commonwealth. Are these legitimate concerns? Whose figures are right here?
Well, I believe that I have full faith and confidence in the Independent Fiscal Office's analysis. It's an agency that's analogous to the Congressional Budget Office in Washington. I believe that their numbers are as accurate as can be. There were some revisions that were made to their initial report from several weeks ago that after a consultation between the IFO and DPW, they reconciled those issues. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at what needs to be done to get this thing over the finish line, the administration has to make a decision on this. What they've been doing, in my opinion, have been putting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock in this process. Now, today it was the IFO report. Yesterday it was the fact they thought that there was going to be a problem which referred to as the gross receipts tax, which in fact is not accurate. And we've talked to the folks at Human Health and Human Service Program in Washington who confirmed for us that the gross receipt tax is not an issue. That would be a big part of this expansion and a big part of that revenue. It stays with the Commonwealth as we go forward. That was one of the concerns they raised. They've raised an issue with respect to CHIP, the CHIP program. We fully want the CHIP program to continue in Pennsylvania, and it will.
CHIP is the Children's Health
Initiative. That's correct.
Well, another concern that the governor has, he is saying, or his administration is saying, is about future costs of the program. The Corbett administration figures say that the expansion would add more than 800,000 new enrollees to the program and cost the state more than $4 billion in additional state tax dollars by the end of June of 2021. So this is one of the major concerns that the governor is saying about why he's hesitant to sign on to an expansion.
Well, Paul, I can say to you that we believe that the governor's numbers are totally inappropriate and not the right numbers. You got to look at the study. The RAND Corporation has no vested interest in this analysis. The Pennsylvania Economy League has no vested interest in their analysis to say anything that's not going to be truthful, as well as the Independent Fiscal Office. What I think the governor's office has done, and they established that $4 billion many, many, many months ago, they failed to take into consideration that a lot of the cost that the governor has addressed, we don't believe it's $4 billion. It's well short of that. But a lot of those costs that will be assigned to Pennsylvania, our costs are going to take place regardless of whether or not Pennsylvania expands into the Medicaid expansion program. There are going to be costs associated with the Commonwealth regardless of what we do. And I disagree that it's going to cost the Commonwealth. We believe, and I think those trail reports say, there are two things that take place. One, you've got a reduction in the amount of your state budget line items, because that's what we're demonstrating in our Senate Democratic budget. We're reducing it this year based on six months in the Medicaid expansion program for 6 months as part of our fiscal year, from January 1 of 14 to June 30th of 14, we believe that we can generate $154 million in savings, and that's reflected in our budget. More importantly, those numbers grow as we go forward over the course of the years. But the net benefit, the net gain between the cost of the Commonwealth in terms of the expenses that we have to pay out versus our savings combined with the revenue that would come in from the gross receipts tax, just that, for example, well offsets any cost going into the future. But I might add that we've not even looked at, when you factor in the fact that you're going to add 35,000 healthcare delivery jobs in Pennsylvania. That's not my number. Every one of those analysis, and I think the administration would agree that it comes close to that, that 35,000 jobs ramped up over the course of the next couple of years, the taxes that are generated just alone from those new employees who are working in our Commonwealth would help offset a lot of the costs that were talked about. The economic impact of having $35 million of economic impact in terms of health care delivery. And let's look at our western Pennsylvania region, particularly the Pittsburgh and Allegheny County region. When you look at the level of health care, our largest employer, UPMC, and the next largest employers who are in the health care area, the number of jobs that would be created and the benefit to southwestern Pennsylvania and Allegheny County and Pittsburgh in particular, to me, that economic benefit that's generated. In fact,
let me just jump in, but sure. What you're saying here is that the number of jobs created would generate enough tax revenue to offset some of the additional tax dollars that would be needed, even according to the figures that the state is floating.
That's correct, and it's done in a couple of ways. It's the sales, it's the employment taxes, it's the personal income tax, it's the gross receipts tax that I referenced earlier that makes its way through our managed care organizations. In fact, one state, I believe it was Missouri, did an economic impact analysis, and their conclusion was, and I think the Rand Corporation folks incorporated that. They said that there were about 0.5% of their gross state product increased if you would adopt the Medicaid expansion. So 0.5% of our $28.4 billion budget is about $140 million. So right there, with the economic impact being 0.5%, you generate $140 million in new additional revenue. And again, it goes back to the aggregate of the revenue that we bring in combined with the savings that provide for a net benefit to the Commonwealth in year one and as we go forward.
We're talking with State Senator Jay Costa of Forest Hills, the Senate Democratic leader and advocate of opting for Medicaid expansion. If you have a comment or question for him in the few minutes that we have left in this segment, give us a call, 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002. What are your thoughts about Medicaid expansion in Pennsylvania? Is it something you'd like to see? What are the things about it that are confusing to you? And there have been a lot of facts and figures that have been thrown out that are being disputed, as we've discussed in this segment. One thing that I'd like to have clarified here, Jay, is who would be able to enroll in this program that isn't eligible now if there is Medicaid expansion in Pennsylvania?
If there is Medicaid expansion in Pennsylvania, then those individuals who make between 100% of the poverty level and 138% of the federal poverty level, those individuals would be eligible to participate in the Medicaid expansion program. So those are basically your individuals who are working and earning and living. You know, if you want to put a face to them, they are people who work. You know, I'm sitting in a Johnstown Holiday Inn for a hearing. You know, those are the people who are working in the kitchen. Those are the folks who are probably doing the hotel rooms and the like. They're social service agency individuals who make roughly above minimum wage. Those are the type of positions that we're talking about. And it's a modest level of health care coverage. I don't want folks to think that it's any type of a Cadillac plan along those lines, but folks need to be earning in that range in order to be able to earn that benefit they would receive.
What is the deadline? We keep hearing about the looming deadline. When does the governor need to make a decision?
Well, we believe that it needs to be made well before June 30th. My hope is that we have some decision or some conclusion within the next couple of weeks here, so that, you know, before we go home on June 30th, when we conclude our legislative session. October 1st is when the registration starts for implementation of January 1 of 2014 is when the program would start. Our hope is that we pass something in June, or we indicate our intention to do an expansion between now and June 30th. October 1st, the enrollment and everything begins at that point in time, and then folks would be able to have the benefits come January 1st. But more importantly, the economic impact combined with people having health care coverage is what we believe is important, and that would start January 1st.
In a related issue, before we let you go, the Senate was debating House Bill 818. That's a bill that would deny women abortion coverage under the health insurance exchanges that were set up by the Affordable Care Act. It's certainly a sensitive issue. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I supported very strongly the two amendments that were offered yesterday, on Tuesday in the Senate, one by our colleague, Senator Judy Schwenk from Reading, as well as an amendment from Senator Pat Vance, Republican senator from Central Pennsylvania. Both of those amendments unfortunately lost by a couple of votes. But what those amendments would have done would have done a couple of things. Expanded the definition to be consistent with the Abortion Control Act that we have today as it relates to exceptions. And it was disappointing we were not able to do that, but it would have been consistent with the Abortion Control Act that the Supreme Court has found to be appropriate, and I think folks recognize in Pennsylvania it's an appropriate piece of law. The standard we now have in place is a little bit stricter than that in that regard. The other issue was to make certain that if an individual wanted to purchase a product off of the exchange that provided abortion coverage, that they would have to pay for that out of their the initial premium, additional cost of the premium, as well as the administrative cost associated with that. That, too, was unsuccessful. But I think folks need to be clear. No state money can be used to do for abortion services. and that's been the law in Pennsylvania, continues to be the law. There are some who are concerned that the Affordable Care Act may provide some type of a loophole, so therefore the necessity to do the bill. My belief is that we did not need to do the bill. It's just redundant, and it's something that is done not only to divide, to continue to divide people on this issue, and is unfortunate. But you know, that was my take on this whole conversation.
State Senator Jay Costa of Forest Hills joining us. Again, he's the Senate Democratic leader, joining us by phone from Johnstown. Senator Costa, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Well, happy to be with you guys.
Coming up, imagine not being able to recognize the faces of those closest to you. Carnegie Mellon researcher Dr. Marlene Berman joins us to explain the condition known as face blindness. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.